Good morning.
Good morning.
I see we have some brave souls today that come out into the cold. But let me tell you something. I missed y'all for 2 weeks, so I'm going to tell you something.
We miss you too.
Well, thank you. But we're glad you're here this morning. So for some announcements, first thing, at the top of your bulletin here, and I had this, Shelley put this in, Operation Christmas Child Shoebox total was $12,205,900.
We
did
get that?
No, just not that. We had part of that, not all of it. So, which is said to enable them to do more to reach more children for the Lord. So, and hopefully there'll be even more next year. So, Friday at 6 o'clock, WMA Valentine's dinner, okay? We'll include shrimp, baked potato, salad, and dessert. Senior Saints will provide entertainment. Sign-up sheet will be in the fellowship hall. Please sign up by February the 8th. That's today. So if you haven't already and you want to come, go in the back there on the counter there. There's a sheet there. Put your names down. Children and youth winter fest. Saturday the 14th at 2 to 4, dinner will be provided in all ages. Welcome. Parents are welcome to stay or drop off their children. There will be crafts, games, and devotion. Sign-up sheet will be in the fellowship hall. See Michelle Jenkins with any questions. She's not here today. She's keep her in your prayer. She's having some health issues, so keep that in your prayer. Senior Saints Ministry meeting Monday the 23rd at 7 p.m. Deacons and WA meetings Tuesday the March 3rd at 7 p.m. MTBA gathering Tuesday, March the 3rd. Well, that conflicts with our meetings. But then church business meeting will be Wednesday, March 4th at 7, and youth committee meeting Sunday the 80th following the service. Is there any other announcements, anything? Fellowship, tentatively, Saturday the 21st, we'll be making a day trip to the National Museum of Marine Corps in Quantico. Now, there's a sign-up sheet in the back, and hasn't that many signed up yet. So if you want to go sign up. But if we don't get enough, then we won't be going now, but we will have the breakfast instead. So so if you want to take that trip, go sign up. And we'll take a count after church today to see what we're going to do.
I know it's
full of men, but I've been there. Already, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege, the honor that we have to be here with you today in this your house of worship. We've come to offer you our worship and praise and to thank you for all the many wonderful and great things that you do, and especially for the great gift of salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you that we can be here today and to be warm inside, though it may be cold out, and to be reminded of the warmth that your Son puts in our hearts and sees us through each day. And we pray now all that we do and say is according to your will and glory as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.
Far away from the sinking sand, but Okay, our first song this morning is number 5, How Sing Praises to His Name. Stand as we sing. We'll sing both verses.
Timothy, you want to come this way? We're in for a treat. This is Timothy Tran. But the second Sunday, I guess, that y'all were here, and I was standing back here after the services, and I heard the piano. Man, it was going to town. And I said, what in the world? I look, and I didn't see no hit at the piano. So I turned and walked around there, and he was working the keyboard. Let me tell you, he can play. He's like a concert virtuoso, okay?
He's 9 years old.
He's been playing, what, 4 or 5? Yeah, 5. And I asked him, when I said, do you read music or just from heart? And he says, he reads it and he memorizes it. So, okay, Timothy, take over, son.
Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Hey, Tim. Tim. Hey, Tim, question for you. What was the name of the song?
Goodbye Yesterday.
Thank you. Take a bow for everybody. Praise God. Hey, Tim, come on back. Come on, kids. Come on down. Come on down, kids. Or you can go get your brother if you want. Toby, there he comes. Oh, we got one down. We got one down. You okay, Johnny? Hey, thank you for sharing your gift with us. You know, we all have gifts. We've talked about it. Johnny, you okay over there? Yeah, he's okay. You know, we've talked about this before. We all have gifts, and it's so grateful that you shared that gift. Today, I'm going to talk about something a little different. Do you guys like to do hard things? Do you like it when things are tough? No, we don't like it, do we? All right, how about like when we learned to ride a bicycle? That was pretty hard and tough. Wasn't hard for you? How about you, Taylor? Yeah? She got on two wheels on the first try. That's wonderful. What you got, Charlie? Yeah. Hey, 7 is a special number. Just remember that. So we don't like it when things are tough and things are hard. God bless you. But you know what? God has something for us in the Bible, which we're going to talk about today. It's from James. And James says, I should wear my reading glasses. All right, get this. So we don't like it when things are tough, but the Bible says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. He told us to be happy when things are tough. That doesn't make sense, does it? Persevere, that means you'll stick through it. That means you got grit and determination. All right, do you guys like doing your homework? You like your homework? All right. I got homework. In fact, everybody in this church has homework. This is my Bible. And so I will tell you the truth. Some days, Taylor, some days it's hard for me to dive into this Bible and really get into it like Jesus wants me to. It is huge. It is huge. And I'm not always in the best of moods, and I don't always want to do it. But you know what? I do it for you. I do it for me. But I really do it for
the Bible.
I do it for the Bible and for God. You're right. And through that work, I persevere, and he makes me a better person. But you know what else we learned in the Bible? James tells us that we shouldn't be afraid to ask for help because God will help us. So when times get tough, whether you're learning to ride the bike, Charlie, you said you fell at least 7 times.
And it was a head 3 times.
Oh, good. That's why we wear helmets. You know, helmets weren't around when I was young, which is why I have some of the problems I do. Okay. And now, all right, hey, perfect example today. Tim, yeah, we should. So Timothy was playing the piano today. Now, when you started, were there some days where you had to practice and work on it? It was tough and hard and difficult? Yeah, obviously some. You're right. But you persevered. You worked on it. But as James said, we should take joy in those moments, and in those moments, we should ask God to help us, all right? So remember that when things are tough, we just say a little prayer to God, and we can get through it. Let's say a little prayer so you guys can go in the back room, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We know that things can be tough sometimes. We know that things aren't perfect, but we should take joy in knowing that you are always with us, and all we have to do is ask for your help, and you'll help us get through these tough times. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead, kids. I feel like a school crossing guard. I got to put my hand out here to keep them from running away. But you know, it is a blessing that they're so excited to be part of this church and to go forth. I hope everybody's doing well. It's good to see everybody. at least half our congregations here, which is a nice blessing. And I see a lot of smiling faces that we haven't seen for a while. I do have one tough thing to share with everybody this morning. We've shared it before. Drew Turpin's son, Joe, is not doing too well. He's got an infection in his foot. He's been asked to have that bone removed to prevent infections, and he's been stubborn about that, partly because he has his own business and he has to stay busy and walk around and do things. The nurse told him and the doctor told him, it's either take the bone out of the foot and allow it to heal, or you might have to take the leg. Unfortunately, infection has developed in the foot. So please lift him up in prayer. This is Joe Turpin, Drew's son. How is Dwayne doing? Blood pressure went down and then back up and all over the place. Yeah, I understand. And real quickly, how's Jody doing? Is she home? Okay, she's home from the hospital. That's good. She missed dialysis a time or two, and that's not a good thing. So during the ice and snow, she had to go to the hospital for a while. So lots of people are having tough times. Please lift them up. Michelle's not with us today. She hasn't been feeling the best. She's recovering. She's recovered from COVID, but evidently still has some side effects. Anybody else with any praises or concerns for the church? Yes. Brenda is home. That's right. Thank you for sharing that. I forgot about that. And that's because it makes me smile, and I just completely skipped my mind. In case you didn't hear, Brenda Burton took a slip on the ice and cracked her kneecap and spent some time in the hospital and for rehab, but she came home the other day, so please continue to lift her up. Family's going to have a time helping her for a while. But there are a lot of people just having a tough time right now, so I ask it in your heart to lift them up. I do have one piece of good news to share with you, and I shared it with my friends the other night. My grandson, Jackson, is a big brother now. So his dad had a family had a little boy, so Jackson's now a big brother. Shelly got to take Jackson to the hospital to meet his brother the other day. Wonderful pictures, and I'm so blessed that Shelly got that opportunity. Hey, please keep care of each other. Yes, Warren?
Francis and I are blessed with our fourth great-grandchild.
Fourth great-grandchild. Laney. Goodness gracious. Well, you know, I think that has something to do with your age, right? When you can keep counting the number of great-grandchildren. Such a blessing. Such a blessing. And I want to thank Nora for a wonderful solo this morning. Thank you for joining us.
Let me just share this with you real quick before I pray. I had a situation here week before last with the snow and ice. The power went out. The generator didn't work. And I couldn't get out of the house. And I tried to go out, but it was so slick. I said, I'm not going to take a chance. If I fall out here, there's no telling when somebody would find me. My daughter called me a couple of days later, and I told her the situation. I said, don't worry, your daddy's not doing anything stupid anymore. And she thanked me and said, be careful. And to follow up with that, I was visiting Brenda Tuesday at the hospital, and she told me how she had slipped. She went out to put a seed in the bird feeder, and her daughter told her not to do that, and she did it anyway. So anyway, I'm glad she's back home. So we got be careful out there on that ice, please. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be together this morning here in your house, and we thank you that all the wonderful things you do. You give us all the food we need on the table for us to do well. You give us a roof over our heads to live in. You give us all the clothes on our back. You give us the transportation we need and all the things to make us comfortable in this life. And you're there to see us through the trials, the tribulations, the troubles, the sicknesses, whatever that may be. We know that you're there for us and to see us through it. Because we know that there are times that we're going to have trials and temptations. Things are not going to go right. It's part of life. But to know that we need to know that you're there to help us through. And we pray, Father, for those, our church family, that are overcoming disabilities, injuries, and sickness, that you would put your healing hand upon them and continue to heal them and to see them safely back. And for those that are struggling, facing surgeries and tests and so forth, that you would be with them to go through these times. And above all, as we are here today, we think about you and how you have kept us comfortable even in the times of trials and troubles. And all this is made possible through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Okay, our offertory hymn this morning is 139, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We sing the first and last verses. Stand as we sing, please.
We come this part of our worship to bring back our offerings and our tithes for our Lord and for his work, to see his work go forth in this world, to reach more people for the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and to think about as you give, think about what it meant when you were lost and undone, and the hope that you got and that you have now when you found Jesus Christ as your Savior. And think about those that have not found it yet and what their destiny is without it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to come and give back a portion of what you so greatly blessed us with. And we pray that it will go forth into this world through the work in this church, in this community, and throughout the world, that more people will find the Lord Jesus Christ through our givings. This we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you. There was a Sunday school teacher who decided to have her young class memorize the most quoted scripture in the Bible, Psalms 23. She gave the youngsters a month to learn the verses, but little Bobby, he was having problems with it, and he were trying to memorize it. He just was having all this trouble. So when the time came for them to recite the Psalms 23 before the congregation, several of the children had gone before Bobby and gave their memorized scripture. But then when it come to Bobby, he was nervous, and he got up and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." Arnold Palmer, I don't know, are you familiar with Arnold Palmer? Of course, he's not with us now. He's gone on, but he was one of the greatest names in golf. He's still remembered for the things that he did for golf. He talked about one time about his practice sessions. He said most golfers work on putts on soft velvet greens and practice their drives down smooth fairways. He said his practice was different. He too, though, practiced on velvet greens and smooth fairways, but he also frequently worked on his technique of how to get out of a sand trap. Now, I don't know if any of you have played golf or are golfers, but to know, you're going to get in a sand trap sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's not the best thing, but it's inevitable in the game, isn't it? Now, life, too, has its smooth spots. Living life involves also being caught in the sand traps of adversity. Christians need to allow the faith to work during the tough times of life also. Christians encounter many varied experiences in diverse situations. We all long for life to be straight and smooth. We don't want any difficulties. We're not asking for it. We're not looking for it, but it comes. So we're going to look today that we need to recognize that Christians will not have an easy way. And James tells us what we will face in life's trials. And so we're going to read James 1, verses 1 through 12. So if you want to turn your Bible there, at James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. For let patience have her perfect work, and that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower therein falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. First, Christians can expect trials. Listen to what I said. Christians can expect trials. Trials do come to Christians. James didn't say if, he said when. Something sooner or later is going to happen. It will come at an undetermined time, but be sure it will come. And don't be surprised when it comes. Years ago, I've been married about 3 years. I was working for the city of Norfolk at that time, and I did work the street on the traffic lights, the traffic department. And at this particular time, I was doing the night shift. I would go pick the truck up in the evening when the shop closed and everybody else got off. I would take the bucket truck and go home with it, and I would be on call by the dispatcher from the police department. So if anything happened in the middle of the night, I would get a call, and I'd get in the truck and have to go out there and repair. So this one particular night, it was no surprise to me for my phone to ring at 2 a.m. in the morning. But it wasn't a call from the dispatcher. It was a call from the hospital there in Norfolk. I was told that my father-in-law had been in an accident. So I got my wife up, we got dressed, and we raced to the hospital. When we got there, of course, we were told my father-in-law was already dead. What had happened was he was coming home from work. He worked the night shift at the air station, naval rework facility there. And he was an aircraft structural mechanic. He did the same thing that my dad when my dad was in the Navy. But he was coming home late at night. I don't know if you're familiar with Norfolk, but Tidewater Drive goes underneath Little Creek Road in an underpass there. There's a big concrete island in the middle to keep cars from drifting over. My father was coming one way and with two of his fellow workers that rode with him. This other fella came, the others coming down through the underpass. He passed an elderly couple in the underpass, and when he went past him, he cut them short, and they hooked bumpers. It flipped his car around backwards. It went airborne over that huge concrete island and went across the top of my father-in-law's car. And he was decapitated. I never told my wife ever what happened other than he was killed instantly. That's all I would ever tell her. So you never know when something is going to happen. Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." Psalms 34:19, David, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, Paul, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Trials come in many forms to Christians. Various trials, all kinds of trials, different kinds of trials. Such things as domestic difficulties, problems at home. With a spouse or with a child or those kind of things. Community conflicts. Sometimes there are conflicts in the community. Sometimes there are personal health issues. You have we're times that we're going to face sickness, illness, disease, different kinds of things. Watching this, which I did for a long time, watching a loved one suffer. I watched my wife suffer for a long time. Disappointments, that things don't always turn out the way we want to. Sorrows, hardships, there are many and different types. James wrote to Christians of different economic conditions. He wrote to the poor and to the rich. Listen, the poor, he said, will be exalted by God. They may not matter to the world, but the poor matter to God. But the rich Christians, they need to get their circumstances in perspective. Why? Because when things are going well and affluent circumstances can produce a false sense of pride or security. They put that into that more than they do into God. And they rejoice in their prosperity, but not in their relationship with the Lord. And that's where the problem is. And they're reminded here, it's going to pass away just like the sun hits and withers the grass and the flowers. It's here for a while, and then it's gone. God's people are not exempt from bad things. I got a sermon planned. I'm not sure here in the next few weeks about Job, a righteous man But he had his problems. We'll look and see what that brought about. But I don't know if you're familiar with Joel Osteen, a big church there in Houston. I've been doing some reading and studying on this lately. This huge church, already he's lost about half of his congregation. I mean, he's still got a good number coming. We would count a good number, but half of what he had, many empty seats in that big auditorium they built. It used to be a stadium for basketball. And the seat, I don't know how many thousands they seat, but the people are finding out. You see, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he preaches this health and wealth stuff, this self stuff you can do, and everything's going to be okay. And God wants everybody to be wealthy. God wants everybody to be rich. And God's going to give this to you if you do certain things. People are finding out that's not true. I was told by my professor in preaching class, had a talk with me, set me down in his study, had a nice study there, and books and all this stuff, and a rocking chair there. He would sit you in a rocking chair, and then he would talk to you. And he told me about my preaching, and he told me, he said, you need to prepare your people for the things that are going to happen. They're going to face times of trouble, death, and so forth, and they need to be prepared for it. And I've never forgotten that. And always in my ministry throughout all the years, I've always included that in my messages. We need to be prepared. It's going to happen. Joel Osteen's finding out, not preaching Jesus, not preaching the Bible, but some of this other mess, don't get it. And there's other churches in that same situation. They're dying. The churches that are growing and surviving, they preach this. They preach Jesus. Christians can master the trials. Let's look at this. Mastery begins with an adjustment of attitude. We need, you ever tell somebody tell you, you need to adjust your attitude? It's the way that a person reacts to hardships. This can be a good indication of how strong their faith is. How do they face those trials, those troubles, and different things? How do they face it? Make up your mind to face trials with joy. Notice I didn't say happiness. Happiness has to do with what? Circumstances. Now, you're not going to be happy if you fall and break a leg. You're not going to be happy if you cut your finger with a real sharp knife and you're wrapping this thing up trying to stop it from bleeding and finding something. There are things that we can do to... You're not going to be happy when somebody dies, when a loved one dies. But you have that joy. Joy has nothing to do with circumstances. That joy is what your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that joy of your salvation. So you have that joy no matter what the circumstances are. Normally what happens to people if they don't have that joy, it's an attitude of bitterness and discontent. Don't let an immediate problem put you in a tailspin, but have the proper perspective. I learned this a long time ago. When we go through things, ask yourself, what is God trying to teach me? We learn things from those. Of course, as I said, joy has nothing to do with surface happiness. Joy is an anticipation of the ultimate, the abiding result. What does it say? God works good for those things that love Him. Adopt the attitude that God can cause good things to come from bad circumstances. Mastery comes as a result of godly wisdom. Look what James said. Ask God for wisdom. Every Christian needs wisdom to master life's trials, to understand them, to go through them. Now, there's a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge has to do with facts. But wisdom is a godly gift. And it can be used to cope with the trials of life. And look what James says. God will give it generously. You ask for it. He will give it. But also he says you have to ask in faith. And not let that faith waver. Don't doubt. What he says, that doubt is like the winds blowing on the sea here and there, or blowing on the grass in the field, you know, here and there and so forth. It's wavering. Doubt equals double-mindedness, constantly battling between trust and distrust of God. Christians can profit from trials. Trials produce a steadfast life. Look what it says, that you may be perfect, or that complete, lacking nothing. It's like the tempering of steel. You know how they temper steel? ever see these furnaces? you ever watched? I've gone on at like YouTube, and I'll surf on there and see something, you know, because a lot of times there's garbage on the regular TV, you know. So so I'll go on there, and I've seen where they make these knives, and you make them out of metal, and they keep putting it in the fire and hammering it and putting it back in the fire and so forth, and get tempering it and making it strong. It doesn't destroy the steel. It makes it stronger. The process is difficult, but the results are good. There was a young boy. His grandfather made axe handles. And he made them out of hickory. And he was with his grandfather one day. His grandfather said he had to go out and cut some hickory trees make some more axe handles. And they were walking down through a valley. And the young lad stopped, and his grandfather said, "Here, grandfather, here's some hickories here. Why don't we cut these?" And grandfather says, "No. We're going up on the mountain." And he says, "We're going up on the mountain, and we're going to get hickory trees from up there." He says, "Because those are stronger hickories." He says, "Because they're up there and they get tempered. They're tested in the winds on the mountain, and it makes them stronger." He said, "Those are what we make our axe handles out of." Trials produce a blessed life. This is an inward compensation for the believer, even in the midst of outward woes. Hardships prove whether faith is mature or immature. Look at how you face it. Here's the kicker here. Here's the reward, a crown of life. There are other crowns that if we live right for the Lord, there are going to be crowns handed out one day. Now, what do we do with those crowns? Those crowns ain't something special that we brag about. But we'll be able to bow before the Lord and hand that crown back to Him proudly for what having been rewarded it. It's a reward at the end of life. Look what it's for those who love the Lord more than themselves. What happens when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior? Our self is to be crucified on that cross also. And we become Christ's servants. And we're to love Him, as it says in the scriptures, warning a church, they had left their first love. First love needs to be Jesus. It also speaks of the quality of life of a person who lives their life in faith to the Lord. It's like Jesus said, I come to give you not only life, but life more abundant. Not only just to receive salvation and know what's going to be at the end, but also that you, in the meantime, live a rich, full, abundant life. And that's what we get through going through those things. Now, a Christian can profit from the hardships of life. Trials provide opportunities for faith to work. The more faith works, the greater the Christian matures. There will be joys and ecstasies. There will be disappointments and sorrows. There will be ventures and challenges. And there will be illness and losses. That's part of living. But left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with pleasure, she chattered all the way. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word she said. But oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. It all starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And He will see you through all the experiences of life. Faith works during the good and the bad. Whatever the circumstances, faith can work if we know and depend upon Jesus Christ. I know, I don't think probably a person in here has not already been through some of the circumstances I've mentioned. Top of the list, I'm sure we've all been sick more than once. We've had the diseases. We've had, some of us have had surgeries. Fortunately, the only surgery I've had in all my life was 6 years old and had my tonsils out. Knock on wood. But we all face these things. We face the death of loved ones, you know, whether it be a grandparent, aunt, uncle, a wife, a husband, a child. We've all experienced those things. But how do we get through them? Through Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's where the strength is at. And that's what makes our faith strong. Do you know Him today? Is He seeing you through? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You for James giving us some information about trials and troubles to know they will come. And it's part of living. But to know that You are there to see us through them and strengthen our faith and give us the strength we need to go each day, whether it be good circumstances or bad, help us through. And if anyone here today has not received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, would do so today to know that He died for them, to forgive them their sin, and to give them eternal life. This we all pray in His holy and precious name. Amen. 480, only trust Him.